And I said the department is already here, led by the Director General. So, Shanad, can we start? Okay. Let me take this opportunity to welcome you members to this first meeting of ours and welcome the department led by the Director General. I'm told by Shanad that the Minister and the Deputy Minister have apologized. They've apologized in the first meeting, but I think all of us understand that unfortunately our days when we have meetings coincides with cabinet. I suspect it's going to be a little bit common not to find them in our meetings, but if there are certain things that are going to be that pertinent, we'll have to force them at a certain stage. I suspect we've got somebody here who is like a bat, who doesn't know whether he's a bat or he's a mouse, is in between, whether he's a politician or he's in the department by the name of Aluyanda. So he's going to be helping us when we want them to be here. That will actually tell them that they must be here. Members, we are oversighting and we're trying to make laws. And we are communicating with our communities that elected us. And we've been specifically tasked to look after this Department of Science and Technology. Science and Technology is one of those departments that look very small. But if you follow what's happening in this world, the changes that are there, the dynamic nature of life is related specifically to this department. Because if we don't have human resources, people who can think and try and make things easy for all the animals in this planet, then we wouldn't be having this department. So I take it that it's a very key department. We have been deployed in this department by our political organizations. Whether one chose to come to this department or he or she was told that go to that department, I think we should develop some passion and make sure, not necessarily to understand, but if we've got passion, we're going to understand it, even if we didn't know it. But for those who decided to come into it because they like it, it's going to be easy for them. For those who have been tasked to come because of the shortage of human resources to come here, I think it's just a question of accepting that this one is easy as this is what makes life go. So let me enjoy myself and have passion. So I'm hoping we're going to be doing exactly that. What is very glaring is that all of us, we included, we're very much afraid of science. We think that science is a very difficult thing. And we just have to change that attitude and know that it is not as difficult as it is said. And in fact, life revolves around science and innovation revolves around science. So this is the first day that we're meeting. We are looking forward to making it work. And as we said, it's a small department, but it's very powerful. It's only that people don't know the power that it has to do things. And unfortunately, they are not like the mosquito. They don't promote themselves. They keep quiet, but they do things. You know what the mosquito did? The mosquito was just sitting with the pool. They were just talking, enjoying themselves, and the mosquito was sitting on the horn of a bull, sitting on the horn as they were talking. And then the mosquito said, "Hey chief, if I'm too heavy, you must help me." Because he did know himself to be very heavy. I think the departmental office first meeting as to what they are doing. We are hoping that in what we're going to be meeting today and next week on Wednesday, and after that we're going to compile a report. But the basic thing for now, as we'll just hit the ground running, is because we're just coming out of elections, and coming out of elections, there's some budgets that have got to be passed so that you could do your work without problems. So our concentration is going to be making sure that the budget that you want is going to be passed so that you can do your work. I'm sure most of the work is going to start next year, where it's going to be a budget that is going to be discussed thoroughly by us. This time it's just a question of knowing what's happening and giving you the budget so that you could go on and work. But before you tell us what's going on, maybe since we're all new, let's introduce ourselves so that you know the members that are going to be working with. We'll start with my lead and go down. Just as the members are coming, we're going to be introducing them.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning. My name is Indwe Masebo, a member of the African National Congress. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Maisela David Big Boy Kigana, the member of African National Congress.
Good morning, I'm Anadi Lotrit and I'm from the DA.
Kassel Matale, member of the committee.
Thank you very much, members. Those are members, the other members that are going to become a family tutor, because we think this venue is very hidden, so some people are going to get lost. Sorry.
Maybe you should have seated. I look like an official department of it. Okay, my name is Pro Koza, from EFF, and a member of the committee.
But the problem is that they are too young, so I thought it was... Okay, are there any other members? Okay. Now, let me start with Uvian, because I said he is not sure whether he's a politician or he's an officer, but he's in between. You are a bad lender. Just tell us who you are, Leander, and what work you are doing.
Thanks, Chair. My name is Luyanda France, the Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the Ministry of Science and Technology.
You can see that. See, the Parliamentary Liaison Officer is more of a politician, more of an administrator. He doesn't know too where he is. But we're going to tell him where he belongs. Okay, DG, we're giving over to you. What you'll do, you'll tell us who you are and all the team that you have carried with you. I know we're going to be forgetting all the names, you're going to be forgetting our names, but I think for this next 5 years, we're going to be working together, so we'll end up knowing each other. Okay. And then from there, you just go on and make a presentation.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks to the new honorable members. We are grateful to meet you. Hope we'll do the best to meet your expectations in terms of what you expect from the department. And I like the mosquito story without telling it again. I think we'll take it with us in the posture that we need to take, I think, in this administration. I am Phil Mdwaha. I'm the Director General in the Department of Science and Technology. And this time, Chair and Honorable Members, we decided to bring the full cohort of Deputy Directors General. Unfortunately, two of them, again, are unable to join us today. The DDG for Human Capital, Dr. Thomas Afterheiden, is not here. And then we also don't have DDG Mboneni Moofe for program, just say program two, but they are represented by two chief directors who are acting on their behalf. So on my immediate left is Dr. Wendy Ngoma. She is the Deputy Director General responsible for institutional planning and support in the department. in other departments, she would be called a COO, so Chief Operating Officer. Next to her, on second one, is Mr. Imran Patel. He's a DDG responsible for socio-economic innovation partnerships. We'll explain this a little as we go along. Next to him is Nombuyiselo Mokoena. She is a Deputy Director General responsible for corporate services. She has all the money department. And then next to her is Dr. Cordelia Sita. She is the Chief Director responsible for energy, but she is today standing in for Mr. Mboneni Moofe, who is a Deputy Director General for Technology Innovation Program 2. And then next to her is Dr. Daniel Adams. He is the Chief Director responsible for infrastructure and basic sciences, and is standing in for DDG Research Development Support, Dr. Thomas Afterheide, who is on leave. And then on the far left is Mr. Dan Tutoit. He's a DDG responsible for international cooperation and resources, so he brings the finances from the rest of the world, and we'll share with you that our portfolio has quite a large reach outside South Africa and the rest of the continent, as well as in the rest of the world, so he's responsible for that. Got two people at the back. David Magula is responsible for policy in the department, performance monitoring and evaluation. So he's the one who works with us in putting together the presentation, but in liaison with the And then next to David is Nandi Jinga. She has two roles. She's a personal assistant for me when I'm here in Cape Town, but she's also responsible for the department's liaison and portfolio committee. So I think that's the team that we've brought here, Chair.
Thanks very much. You know, I've just heard that Santalco, they wanted to have an aeroplane, but I don't know what happened to the aeroplane. But I'm told now that they've gone into this social network that if you live here in the place, you've got Wi-Fi. I think it's a very good innovation, and I'm told that it's free. And I think it's something that we need to encourage, that people should be very innovative. We've got other two members that have joined us, which I just want them to introduce themselves. Mandu.
Morning, Chairperson. My name is Lindy Joe. Good morning, Chair. My apologies for being late. I SMS Chanel last night. The flight that I was supposed to be on last night, there was an accident on the R21. So I sat an hour for 20K. So I had to fly this morning. Yoni is to launch from Northwest for the day.
Thank you. I thought you said there was an accident in the plane. Then I wouldn't expect you to be sitting there. But if it's a car, the fantastic, you said there was an accident, the fantastic plane. There's somebody here next to me, Ushana. She's the secretary for the committee. But unfortunately, there's nobody that has been working with me. And I don't want to see anybody. She's going to be helping me in a lot of things, besides the work that she's doing for the committee. Myself, I'm Stephen Kokwan. I'm going to be chairing this committee for the next 5 years. Before we go on to you, let's allow the member to introduce himself as he's coming in. If you could just take a seat and introduce yourself, member. You better be close. Don't go to the officers.
Yeah, there are so many questions,
Thank you very much. We'll give over to you, Phil. What we're going to do, members, we're going to allow them to tell us what's going on in the development. And then towards the end, will have questions and discussions. So if we could give them a chance and record whatever that we want to record. The meeting belongs to us, but they are the department that are oversizing obstruction.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Because this was the first briefing, we have spent a lot of time giving the background of the work of the department, starting from the time when the department was formed in 2004, with all the guiding policy documents, starting from the white paper, including new documents that have put needs to the white paper, the National Research and Development Strategy and the 10-year Innovation Plan. So that's the first part of the presentation. The second part of the presentation is to give you a flavor of how we structure our work in the Department of Science and Technology. And then we have some examples of some of the work that we're doing, which gives you a flavor. But if the chair and yourself would like then to come, for us to come and give you detail on each of the areas which we will share with you as examples of the work that we do, we are at your disposal. And then the last part of the presentation is some early thinking on how the work of the department and the challenges we face, we think we need to address them going forward. So those are the three focus areas. There is a little bit on the target that we have on the APC, but we haven't really focused on that in more detail, with the hope that you probably will summon us or ask us to come and give you the essence of what's contained in here. And I heard the chair talking about next week. Would that be an appropriate time to talk about the strategic plan and then the details of the APP? Hopefully after today you will see where those things fit in this evolution of the journey that we want to share. I hope that will be meeting your expectation. And we have agreed that I will do the presentation and the DDGs will answer all the questions. So like to run them up front. So we'll introduce and then we'll give you the vision, mission and goals as they currently stand. And then we'll share with you the policy package, a set of policies that we are putting in place in order to drive the work of the department and its entities. And then we're going to give you an examples of where we see the role of science, technology and innovation enhancing socio-economic development. Brief overview of the 14-15 annual performance plan. We'll share with you, as I've said, the public entities that report to the Minister of Science and Technology, because maybe again at some point you may wish to invite them here so they can share the work that they do. At the highest level of the budget that we receive, 92% of the budget goes to these entities, so it's extremely important for you to be aware of what they do and make sure that we are all on the same page, and then we'll conclude. So the vision is to try and see whether we can create a prosperous society that derives enduring and equitable benefits from science and technology. And we do this by developing, coordinating and managing a national system of innovation. I will explain what you mean by national system of innovation in the next couple of slides. An innovation system that will bring about human capital, sustainable economic growth and improved quality of life for all. So that's how we want to make sure that the vision is achieved. We have five goals for the work that we do. The first one is to make sure that we have appropriate science, technology and innovation human capital to meet the needs of the society. In this game we're in, the knowledge rests in people's heads, and therefore if you don't have people to do research or to translate research into useful products and services, you basically don't have petrol to fuel your car. So this is the first objective. We need to have the knowledge at our hands, so we have to find ways in which we increase our ability and the capacity to generate knowledge, because we are in the knowledge game, and therefore again these are in a sense the wheels of the car. The third is to have the innovation capacity of the NSI. This is the engine of the work that we do. How do we then translate all the knowledge that you have and the people that you have in order to make sure that within the country we are able to translate ideas from research into useful products and services. Of course, you cannot do this unless you have adequate science, technology and innovation infrastructure, so the laboratories and all the instruments and the toys that scientists need in order for them to do work. And then, as I've said in my introductory remarks, Chair and Honourable Members, we have to position South Africa as a strategic international research and development partner on the one hand, where we would like others to come and work with us, and also to make sure that we are a destination for those people who would like to do some technology and innovation in South Africa. So our journey starts then in 1996. And in 1996, a science and technology white paper was introduced as a legal document for the work that we do. And I will then go through each of these in a bit more detail in the next couple of slides. In 2002, the department, the portfolio committee, and everyone adopted the research and the development strategy, and I will share that with you in much more detail. In a sense, the research and development strategy was putting meat around the ideas that were articulated in the Science and Technology White Paper. In 2004, the Department of Science and Technology was set up as a separate ministry. Before that, it was part of the Department of Arts, Culture, Science and Technology, and there was a management model that was proposed on how we need to manage our work as the Department of Science and Technology in relation to other government departments who have science and technology functions. In 2007, we developed a 10-year innovation plan, and then we'll share with you what the plan is intending to do. And then between 2009 and up to now, we are really deepening the implementation of these three policy documents. One of the things that the Science and Technology White Paper introduced was the concept of a national system of innovation. And as I say, I will come back in detail later on about what it means and what it's trying to do. The research and development strategy introduced what we call science and technology missions. And again, I will come back to this in much more detail. And it also introduced technology missions. So some of them are included here, things like biotechnology, information and communication technology, advanced manufacturing, autonomous manufacturing will be part of the science mission. And as I've said, in 2004, the department was created as a separate standalone department. And then in 2007, we subjected the performance of the National System of Innovation to a review that is conducted by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. So these are stakeholders or experts from outside the country who then come in the country and give you a sense of how well you're performing or where you can improve. And the 10-year innovation plan was, in a sense, a document trying to respond to some of the recommendations of the review of the OECD. The document also introduced the idea of a knowledge-based economy. We will explain that in much more detail again in the next couple of slides. And then we have a new set of instruments that we have introduced in the last couple of years in order to consolidate the work that we do on the one hand, but also to accelerate our ability to convert ideas from research into commercialization. In particular, the Intellectual Property Rights Act of 2008 and the setting up of an institution called the National Intellectual Property Management Office that is helping the institutions to manage intellectual property. And then an agency called the Technology Innovation Agency, at an appropriate time again, they can come and share what they do. Their purpose is to provide funding to publicly financed institutions if they have ideas that they would like to commercialize. And then we also set up the South African National Space Agency, which is really trying to help us to harness space for socio-economic development. So that's the full scale, I think, of the policy package that was introduced since 1996. So let's spend a few minutes then trying to explain each and every one of them. So as I said, the white paper introduced the concept of the national system of innovation. So what does this really mean? It means that we need to look at the utilization of science, technology, and innovation. So in other words, all over the world, people were appreciating investing in science, but there was a realization that it's okay to invest in science, but also to understanding of the scientific principles and then feeling what that help us to live in an imperative to enhance quality of life and economic growth and competitiveness. As I say, a few decades ago, innovation meant something closer to invention. So you've come up with an invention of something new. Today, the focus is how to exploit invention for socioeconomic benefits, because if I sit in my garage or in my lab and I invent something, unless it can find use to society, it remains an invention. So innovation, therefore, is an attempt to take an invention and have its benefits to the society. And hence, therefore, a system of innovation as opposed to a science system. And we, of course, do know that a science system is a necessary foundation from which you can build your national system of innovation. If you don't have the knowledge and the know-how, you'll not be able to exploit it in a sense, I think. And therefore, quite often in the public discourse, there's always a debate between how much we're investing in science, pure science, so we can understand how the world works, and how much we are investing in the attempts to translate science into useful products and services. So with this last bullet point, we are saying it's a useful debate to have, but ultimately we all have to agree that there's a need for the coexistence of both. We can always argue how much we're investing on one or the other. So the national system of innovation, therefore, can be thought of as a set of functioning institutions, organizations, and policies which impact constructively in the pursuit of common set of socioeconomic goals and the objectives of the right. So it's make sure that the policies across all institutions that are pursuing social economic goals using science and the institutions themselves are all aligned. And you can see that this is a difficult task if you assume that not all the science and technology institutions reside in one ministry. So it's like heading cats. But this is something that keeps us awake at night, and it's a good challenge of constantly trying to have an ideal national system of innovation. So that's the first concept that was introduced by the white paper. And then it also raised the importance of leadership coordination and cooperation in making the NSI effective. And then government's role was to see that the components of the NSI, one, are in place, two, they interact, and that there's an agreed set of goals and objectives. And that's why we want to spend a bit more time sharing with you the document that we then put in place to make sure that there is a framework within which these organizations can start to drive the science, technology, and innovation agenda. So let me start with the National Research and Development Strategy. At the highest level, it was a document that would wish to impact on two things. One, our quality of life using science, technology, and innovation, or research and development. And the other one, to see whether we can make an impact on wealth creation. And the text that you have at the bottom is just our attempts to say on what would you measure quality of life. So at the time, propose the technology achievement index and the percentage growth that is generated by technological innovation. Now, if you want to impact on the two set of objectives, there are certain things you need. One is you need human capital, the number of researchers that you have in the system, because they will be the ones that will translate knowledge for quality of life or wealth creation. You need technical progress. You need to have the ability of converting knowledge, both for business as also for translating that for the quality of life. And you need excellent business performance. So in other words, industries and people who help in translating knowledge for wealth creation. And then lastly, you need to constantly make sure that the knowledge that you have on the right-hand side is renewed by ensuring that you import knowledge that you may not have. You need to make sure that you worry about the capacity that you have and the future capacity, and therefore we spend a lot of time on measuring the global share of the knowledge. We also make sure that we spend a bit more time on ensuring that we have adequate science and engineering masters and PhD as a feeder to the middle block. So I'll try to simplify this diagram in order to see how the three layers feed into each other. So this National Research and Development Strategy of 2002, it rests on three pillars. One is innovation, as we have talked about it before. Second one, human capital development. And the third is governance and coordination of the various institutions in the national system of innovation. It also proposed that we set a target of 1% of gross expenditure on research and development. Chair and honorable members, I am I'm not happy to report that we have not reached this target. So in 2002. My sense in Rwanda is that we're sitting at between 0.76 to 0.8% of GDP as investment in R&D. So we are way well below the target that was set in 2002. This is just to give you a flavor of the areas where we wanted to advance on our technology missions. Advanced manufacturing is one area where we've been investing over the last couple of years to see whether science and technology can assist in the manufacturing of the country. Can we use science and technology and demonstrate that it can assist in poverty reduction? And we'll be sharing with you some examples of the work that we're doing in that regard. Information and communication technology, we've just renewed or developed a new technology roadmap for the next 10 years on the ICT. Biotechnology, we've just revised this work and made on the 10-year innovation plan a bioeconomy strategy. Again, at an appropriate time, we can share that with you as well. Resource-based industries, we still, at the time, and I think even today, we think that mining or resources will still be with this economy for some time, and therefore we need to be looking at how we can use science and technology to support resource-based industries. And then at the time, fourth generation nuclear reactors and chemical technology was identified as the next generation of activities that we need to invest in. And then in science missions, astronomy was identified as an area where we have geographic advantage because the number of telescopes in the north, a few in the south, but there were very, very few in the African continent. And you would all know how much investment we've made in this area, with the SKA being the pinnacle of the work. Paleontology, we are endowed with fossils that are that have been found in Gauteng that show that the origins of humankind are around this area, so we've invested hugely in this area. Antarctic and marine sciences, as you know, in Antarctica we have a base, we therefore want to take advantage of that base, but also marine sciences on both the east and the west coast. Earth system and environmental science, we are very fortunate in this part of the world because we sit in the part of the world where the two oceans, the Indian and the Atlantic Ocean, meet. We sit in the part of the world where we are between a warm continent and a cold continent. So if we take this geographic area, we can do a lot of science to understand how the Earth system works. And again, we have a huge program in this area, including a center that is trying to take advantage of this geographic advantage. So that's broadly, Chair and Honorable Members, at a high level, the National Research and Development Strategy. So now I'd like to move on to the second document, the 10-year Innovation Plan, which really introduced the concept of a knowledge-based economy. In reading documents about what knowledge-based economy is, it rests basically on four pillars. The one is education, so you need to have education at all levels and adequately skilled people. You need innovation, you need an economic and institutional regime that makes sure that science and technology and economy speaks to each other, and then you need information infrastructure. So this is basically the broadband infrastructure that you need, and these have to work in harmony for you to have a knowledge-based economy. So this diagram tries to capture the essence of what this 10-year innovation plan was trying to do. It identifies over and above the areas that I've just shared with you in the NRDS, five additional areas. The one area was bioeconomy. This was more an evolution of the work that was done in the biotechnology strategy of 2001. And then space science. The feeling was that we can take full advantage of the space heritage that we have in the country, but also to see whether we can harness space for society. Energy remains an area where in South Africa we still are a significant contributor to the CO2 emissions, and therefore we're looking at how we can look at energy differently, both on the demand side, energy efficiency, as well as on new renewable energy, and we'll share some examples of the interventions that we are making in that regard at a high level today. And then global change is a fancy word for climate change. We thought we needed to worry about climate change, and then human and social dynamics, how as humans we interact and what are the challenges that as humans going forward we need to worry about. And we thought we would need centers of excellence, research chairs, professional development programs, so we need adequate human capital in order to drive these initiatives. We would need knowledge infrastructure from science councils, state-owned enterprises, and with other global partners, and we need international cooperation to do this. Now, one of the things that we've been noting very carefully, and we'd like to share with you, is that our analysis is that the idea of the knowledge-based economy is embedded in the government priorities. So these two slides really are extracts from the NDP that tries to motivate, for instance, for us to remember that innovation is the primary driver of technological innovation and drives higher living standards. So again, confirming what we both had on the 10-year innovation plan as well as on the NRDS. And then it also targeted that we should aim at producing about 100 PhD graduates per million by 2030, and in particular, science, engineering, technology, and mathematics-based PhDs as a driver for the economy to help us in achieving higher living standards. Another document which talks about the role of innovation is the Industrial Policy Action Plan, which is driven by the Department of Trade and Industry. It is really an attempt to re-industrialize the country, and then it sees the role of innovation as an important to diversify our economy. So again, I will not go through this in much more detail. But in both these documents, you will find either a knowledge-based economy or the role of innovation as a key driver to drive the agenda of government. So how is our focus of our work in the Department of Science and Technology organized? So this is really just a simple diagram which we are using to try and say, who are we? So the blue roof at the top is essentially what we would like to impact on and the outcomes that we would like to achieve. I do like to say to the committee that, of course, for us to make this impact sometimes takes a bit longer than we would like, but this is something that we think we would like to do, and we measure this by what you see on the right-hand side. Can we measure the contribution to GDP of the research and development work that we do, and the technology balance of payment? Technology balance of payment is essentially the receipts that we get when we import technology and the receipts that we get when we export technology. So at some point we are busy now trying to understand how much do we import and how much do we export. And this is very, very important. Recently we have been working with our colleagues at Treasury, and we found that on our balance of payment, current account deficit. About 4% of the deficit comes from the imported technology that comes into the country. So if we can start thinking around how we can impact on that and reducing that by developing some technologies here in South Africa, we can help the country almost immediately. The outcome is the research that we do is measured through licenses. People develop technology and sometimes they are not able to commercialize it and they ask other people to exploit technology. And then they get money from those licenses or they set up spin-out companies. But the bulk of who we are sits then on the bottom three blocks. The one that talks about knowledge generation, and we track this by the publications and number of students that we have either at universities or in the science councils. And then we also try and exploit knowledge on the right-hand side. And we measure this either through patterns or we measure this by how our knowledge fits into government priorities as well as assisting communities to improve their lives. For us to do that, you need people, as I've said, human capital, and you need infrastructure. And as I said, you can't do this alone. You have to do this with the rest of the world, which is what we have on the right-hand side. And then we need a well-structured governance framework for managing the rest of the institutions that I said are part of the system. So we hope that this helps in just structuring who we are and what we do. So I will spend a couple of slides now talking about how we've been doing on the knowledge generation and on the knowledge exploitation and give you a flavor of the work that we do. So with your permission, Chair, I will not spend a lot of time on these slides, as I said, just to give you a flavor. At an appropriate time, if you want us to come back and drill into the details of this, we're happy to do that. So we have reviewed how we have performed on the knowledge generation side. The data that we are collecting from the institutions show that the number of publications and the students is going up. This is because of some interventions that we have put in place, and these include increasing the values of bursaries, introducing the centers of excellence. We've got 14 of them now, and then we have introduced research chairs. Research chairs is essentially an instrument that the National Research Foundation has introduced where they release professors from teaching responsibilities or reduce that by providing them with an additional funding, and that additional funding allows professors to spend a bit more time on research and training masters and PhD students. We are of the opinion that we more or less have documents that articulate where we would like to go, whether it's the R&D strategy that I've shared with you, or whether the 10-year innovation plan, and our view is that these documents are aligned to the development plan, the new growth path, and the current medium-term strategy framework. And we put this to say that we can constantly be saying we need a new agenda for what we do in science and technology, or we can say we have an agenda. The agenda can always be optimized, but let's not keep spending time going to set an agenda. So I think that's the point that we're making. We've done an analysis of the performance of our researchers that we have in South Africa with the rest of the world and other parts of the world. And we believe that we have a productive and an efficient researcher community. Of course, there are concerns that we have, and these concerns are that we have a larger number of researchers and senior professors who are very old, and therefore we need to start thinking about the renewal and make sure that we focus on emerging researchers. Second point is we want to make sure that the gender and demographic challenges of our researchers is addressed. And we are putting in place measures to track and understand in detail the information broken down so that we can know exactly what the numbers look like so we can put the right interventions for this. We sometimes also feel that we don't have the required critical mass for socioeconomic transformation work, and therefore we need to be thinking about large-scale focused intervention. If we compare, for instance, the size of our CSIR in South Africa and compare the size of CSIRO in Australia, we have, I think, the CSIR about just under 2,000 people. In other parts of the world, the size of the CSIR will have about 10,000 people. So we already have a very small set of, and therefore if we want to do the things that we think we can do, we need to be thinking about how do we upscale. So going forward, we therefore would like to deepen and scale up the implementation of the research chairs and centers of excellence. As I've said, center of excellence, we've got 14 of them, and then the research chairs, we've got 152 of them. We found that if you compare the performance of these instruments with other ordinary funding instruments, they perform better. We need to mobilize resources for infrastructure, both the equipment as well as the cyber infrastructure, including access to international infrastructure. Sometimes there is expensive infrastructure which we cannot afford in South Africa, but with clever partnering we are able to access international infrastructure. We need to strengthen efforts to grow the next generation of researchers. I've already shared this with you. Implement revised strategies to build the pipeline for research and innovation. It's very nice for us to have aspirations of having master's and PhD students, but unless we have a pipeline of medical science students who we bring into the system on an ongoing basis. So we do work with the Department of Basic Education to provide support and to excite youngsters to come into science and technology and innovation careers. And then, of course, there's a need for scale-up research efforts and building towards the large-scale initiatives. So that was on the knowledge generation. So now on the knowledge exploitation. So what we'd like to share with you is four dimensions of how we exploit knowledge. I will start on the right-hand side. We try and exploit knowledge in order to support some priority outcomes of this government. So in education, we support the Department of Higher Education and Basic Education. Higher education in ensuring that the numbers of master's and PhD students that are needed by the economy, we fund them, and that's part of their target. On the basic education, we will share with you a number of initiatives starting today with an initiative agreed to between ourselves and the Department of Basic Education that is being piloted in Kofimvaba in the Eastern Cape. As I say, it's a pilot, you know, agreed with the Department of Basic Education, but there are a range of other initiatives that we are doing to support basic education to build the pipeline. Rural development, there are a number of initiatives that we have in place in order to support them. The one next to that on the second right is the support localization opportunities. Today we'll share with you the Czech localization program, sorry with the spelling of too many O's on the program, and Mr. Patel is an expert who can share this with you. Here we're really trying to support small firms that would like to have access to knowledge in order for them to be part of a localization supplier development program. And then we try and use research and development to strengthen the competitiveness of existing industries like mining and agriculture. And then we also try and see whether we can use research and development to facilitate the development of new industries. I'll share one example with you. So those are the four broad areas where we try and use science and technology and the exploitation of the work to do this. So let's then share two examples with you on areas where we are using R&D to facilitate the development of new industries. These areas have been chosen very specifically because we have natural resources in these areas. The first one is what we call fluorochemicals expansion initiatives. The second one is a program called Hydrogen South Africa. So let's start with the fluorochemicals expansion initiative that we talked about. This graph, without going into the details, shows that in South Africa, on the bottom left, we have a mineral called fluorspar, which we have in abundance in South Africa. Now, if you mine this fluorspar and export it as is, you will get less than 2 rand per kilogram. However, if you decide to add value and produce a number of products out of this fluorspar, like hydrogen fluoride and some subsidiary products of this, you can then sell it at 20 rand per kilogram, so tenfold increase. if you can produce a gas or large volume hydrogen fluoride consuming commodity products, you can see that it jumps already to either 25 or between 25 rand to 200 per kilogram or 75. And what we are doing is to therefore see whether we can have large volume hydrogen fluoride consuming commodity products coming out of the facility that we are trying to finance at the Nuclear Energy Corporation of South Africa. Of course, just to give you a flavor of some of these products, is that if you wake up in the morning and you brush your teeth, most of the toothpaste have got fluoride. If you look at the screens that we have for TVs and our iPhones, the screens contain some kind of a fluoride-related value-added product. So the products really are used in a wide range of applications, and therefore we're trying to use knowledge to see whether we can exploit this mineral that we have. By the way, the active pharmaceutical ingredients in the ARVs are also fluorine-based molecules. So we have been working with Nexa and other partners to see whether we can play an important role in producing the active pharmaceutical ingredients in South Africa that get formulated into ARVs. It's a project called Kitlapila that we do. So this is one example of where we're trying to use knowledge, the raw materials that we have, in order to assist in developing a new industry in South Africa, which we don't have at the moment. The second one is hydrogen and fuel cells. Again, Cordelia can speak about this in detail much more than I do. But most of the energy producing devices, as you all know, there's a lot of CO2 that we pump into the atmosphere. A hydrogen fuel cell is essentially a device that uses hydrogen to generate energy and produces water. Now, how it converts hydrogen to produce energy requires platinum as a catalyst to produce the carriers of energy. Now, we have platinum in the country. All we need to know is to develop the knowledge to use the platinum in that membrane that converts hydrogen to produce energy. We funded three centers in South Africa that are trying to do this beneficiation of platinum. One at the University of Cape Town, it's developing this catalyst that you need to convert hydrogen into energy carrier. The other one is a center that is shared between the CSIR and Northwest University. They are looking at how you can produce hydrogen using all kinds of methodology and the infrastructure for making sure that hydrogen is available for this fuel cell. And the third one is at the University of the Western Cape, which is trying to develop and manufacture small power hydrogen fuel cells. And at the right time, again, we would be delighted to invite the portfolio committee to go and see these centers at these three universities. So these are the two ones, and there are many, many, many others which, again, we can share with you. There's a work that we're doing on titanium. It's another area where we're using, again, a raw material to develop new industry. And there's a huge interest on the applications of titanium, whether it's in the medical industry, or whether it's in the aircraft industry, or whether in a range of other industrial applications. So let me give just a short presentation then on the work that we're doing to support localization. The program is really, the goal is to improve the technological capability of local firms. And hopefully if they do, this will lead to increased competitiveness on the work that they do, expanded capability that they will have, and hopefully begin to expand their market. So these are the three things that we do in this program. The other one is science and new knowledge that we feed into these organizations. You can argue this is intangible, or the other one is tangible, where we provide technology to support these small medium enterprises. So we are of the view that some of these industries are in need of technology renewal. and therefore we provide continued technology development supporting them in order for them to access public procurement infrastructure programs. So we've given here examples of public procurement that has been agreed to by government, and therefore we would like to support these industries, small industries in these areas that have already been targeted, so that they will help in the localization, whether it's in the energy, transport, designated areas, including mega science, like in the Meerkat. There's a huge tech localization component with some of the industries in South Africa that we'd like to localize or be involved in the local content of the public procurement that is identified in this area. So I've given perhaps then the first and the third on those pillars. Now I want to talk about the work that we do to either support education, health and rural development or socio-economic. So I'll talk about a program called Medicinal Plant that we have funded, and then I'll talk a little bit about fish farming that we have supported, and we are now working with the Department of Agriculture, and then I will share with you this Kofimvaba initiative again at the highest level so that you can have a flavor of what it's all about. So the Medicinal Plant program, it's really trying to provide support to communities and rural development in the cultivation of basic on-farm processing activities. We've identified that there are indigenous plants in South Africa that can help in a number of treatments. And we've given them here without going into the details. And the support that we give therefore is either on how you wash, how you chip, and how you dry these medicinal plants so that you can have products that can be packaged in the form of the products that you see on the diagram. You can see CSIR has been working with us and have developed a bioprospecting platform in order to transform these plants into products that are already packaged in these examples. That, and these are the kinds of treatments that can therefore be exploited or treated by these medicinal plants. The second one is the aquaculture program, where we participate in the aquaculture intergovernmental forum, which is coordinated by staff as well as industry roundtables. And there are a number of initiatives where we've provided infrastructure and the science know-how for developing a number of fish farming activities. And the projects, again, are given here. The other one is the Dusky Cop Finfish at on the club by Abalone Hatchery. So this is providing infrastructure using knowledge for the production of abalone offshore. Richards Bay, and then Nelson Mandela Bay, Yellowtail. So these are examples of pictures of the infrastructure that we've provided, working with universities to have the know-how where communities around the area can then produce this at this small scale. And then the Kofimvaba initiative, it's really an innovative 21st century educational environment. It leads to quality learning and teaching in rural areas informed by evidence-based policy. So what we'd like to do here is to see whether the provision of tablets and other technologies in a rural setting can really provide a teaching environment of the 21st century. So these are a set of interventions in this circuit that we are providing to a school. So we are looking at using ICT or tablet on the bottom left together with the teacher development. So we provide tablets and we are providing development of teachers. We're providing food with higher nutritional content in the area. We're looking at how we can provide different energy solutions in a rural setting. We're looking at water and sanitation technologies that we have piloted at the CSIR and other places. We are investing together with the Eastern Cape Department of Education on setting up a science center in the area. So all of these, therefore, are being implemented in this area with the hope that the lessons learned out of this program can then be given to the Department of Basic Education and draw on the aspects of these interventions that work, and these things can probably be rolled out in a number of areas in the country. The choice of the place has nothing to do with the fact that the chair comes from this thing. So this is just giving a flavor of these technologies and the pictures of this. I think we've already talked about this. So on the knowledge exploitation, because that's what I've given you, how do we see ourselves going forward? We'd like to build and learn from the experiences on how to commercialize ideas from research and development. We have a number of initiatives that we've been trying to put in place to take ideas from research and development and commercialize them. The Technology Innovation Agency, with the, all the entities that was folded into the technology, are building up a case for this. We'd like to introduce Emerging Industries Action Plan. The two examples that I showed on the flora expansion as well as the hydrogen, in order to consolidate efforts to build therefore these new industries from research and development. I would like to have strong partnership with industry and other government departments, especially in the use of science and technology in agriculture, mining and forestry. And we have started to set up, with the support of Treasury, some sectoral funds that are helping activities in agriculture, mining and forestry. And again, maybe in during the question and answer session, Chair, with your permission, I'd like Imran to share some of the work that we are doing to support agriculture, especially the export by small, medium enterprises that would like to export their products to the rest of the world, and some technologies that we're providing them on making sure that their products reach the end destination in the same status when we harvest them. On the mining, there's a new program on rock innovation that we've just, I think, signed off with the minister's approval to support the new way in which mining needs to be done and considered going forward. And on forestry, we have a number of initiatives that we are trying to do to support forestry, because it's still a very big industry in South Africa, including sugarcane industry, because we think science and technology must support this. And then we have targeted innovation support for social impact outcomes, education, health, and therefore we are now finalizing a document on innovation for inclusive development as an overarching document. So we believe therefore that in moving South Africa forward in the next 5 years, we need to do things differently, effectively and faster, and we think that science and technology can contribute to the challenges of inequality, poverty and unemployment. We think our work is aligned to the NDP, and we'd like to focus on the top part of the diagram that I showed earlier. How do we translate knowledge so that it can have the outcome and the impact that we desire? It's going to be important for us to think about how do we take the lessons that we've learned, share them with other government departments so that this can be taken up by those that have much more resources than we have. I think I would like to skip this slide today and then just quickly go to the overview of our annual performance plan. This is just the work that we are trying to do to support new innovations by 2015, so we're targeting about 6 of these. As I've said, the part of our work requires that we leverage funding from the rest of the world. And we this year hope to get perhaps just over ¼ billion rand from other people who would like to invest in ourselves in South Africa. It's an important leverage. But it also helps us when we engage with Treasury, that you give us money, but with this money we are able to get additional money that comes into the work that we do. And of course we want to continue to support the postgraduate students that are needed for the economy going into the forward. We want to, through knowledge, evidence and learning, inform how science and technology can be used to achieve inclusive development. I've given you a couple of examples where we're supporting initiatives, whether it's aquaculture or medicinal plants. And now we know that we can even set up small, medium enterprises. How can they be multiplied in large numbers? Or just using science and technology to inform government, we have a program where we are doing research on how you can increase the demand of energy, both in the industrial as well as in the domestic side, and that research must be converted into policy. So we have a budget of just below 7 billion for this year. It will grow to 7.5 and 7.6, and it's split in the manner in which you see it here, Chair. The bulk of the money goes into research, development, and support, as well as social economic innovation partnerships. And then, of course, we need some money to just run ourselves. And then, as you can see again, five of that, six almost of that money, of the 6.4, goes to transfer. So this is the money that we transfer to entities. This is just the split of the money in the 3 years between the various programs. So program four gets the largest support, and program five gets the second largest, and program two. So those are key delivery programs. Of course, ICR is a small program, but it brings a lot of money, and it allows us to have access to large international infrastructure that we wouldn't be able to have access to. And then we need a small amount of money to run the department, so it's a modest amount, as you can see. So this is the allocation to the entities that I have talked about. The National Research Foundation gets the bulk of the 6 billion. The CSIR, there's something wrong with the CSIR number. It should be... confused. Yes. It's not correct. It's around 3/4 of a billion. Sorry about that. And then the Technology Innovation Agency gets just under 500 million. And the Space Agency just over 118 million. And the HSRC 278 or thereabouts. And then the Academy as well, these numbers are definitely wrong. It's about 21 million, is this correct? Again, this shows the, in terms of bar graphs, the breakdown. As you can see, the bulk of the money goes to the NRF, followed by the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research, followed by the Technology Innovation Agency, the Space Agency, Human Sciences Research Council, and the Academy of Sciences. So going forward, we want to review and revise strategic management model. Maybe let me explain this a little bit. In 2004, when the department was set up, there was an agreement in cabinet that there are three types of science and technology activities. The first set of science and technology activities are those where you use existing science activities in order to help in decision support. To give an example, there is no new knowledge in how you use science to predict the weather, except for the modeling, getting information from satellites, maybe more often than you. So it's more using that science in order to tell us, maybe for 2 or 3 days, what the weather is going to look like. If in the domain of forensics, you want to use forensics to tell whether the bullet that shot somebody was fired from this gun or this gun. It's a standard use of science and technology, which is not very. So the agreement was that those kind of activities would not be the Department of Science and Technology's mandate. It would be the mandate of the line department, whether it's police in the case of forensics, environmental affairs in this case of weather, and so forth and so forth. The second category of the use of science, technology, and innovation is where you use both new and existing knowledge in order to support an existing sector. So in agriculture or mining, we have science council like CGS, Council for Geoscience, or MINTEC, or Agricultural Research Council. So those science councils will report to the appropriate line ministry. And then the Department of Science and Technology would focus on emerging and new areas of knowledge where we were expected to do two things, to develop the area of that science, scientific activity, as well as just the knowledge generation in general, and then attempt to translate that knowledge into useful productive things. So that's why we focus on areas like biotech, areas like nanotechnology, because we've been developing these areas. So this is very, very important, because one of the things that we now know is that that model is not working very well, because sometimes we are not able to coordinate all of these activities from a single source. Coordinate, not control, we think. So we want to propose the development of an Act, Science, Technology and Innovation Act. The attributes of the Act would be really to try and ensure that the funding, as well as the coherent policy-wise of the entity, is at least monitored and reported at a single source. So the mandate of what the Agricultural Research Council does would still be the mandate of the Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries, but to make sure that the research capability in the Science Council is maintained, the Ministry of Science and Technology could, if the Act is passed, make sure that the resources for them to have the science capability that they require, we then make sure that we report on that. The same with the other science councils that we have reported on. So this is early work. And we will, of course, as we proceed with this work, come and share with you once we've gone through the necessary processes within the department, minister, and then cabinet. Again, as a way of coordinating, we would like to introduce a research and innovation vote. So rather than the department getting its own money and others getting monies, we can then, if the Act is passed, to introduce a research and innovation vote. We have a single vote that ensures that the science councils get the money for doing research from the single source. So these are two instruments that we are thinking about and that we are discussing. And again, once we have the necessary approvals, or at the right time, we're happy to share with the portfolio. We would like to develop monitoring and evaluation tools and capacities to enhance how we assess the outcome and impact of our work. This is the area we want to move into. We need to bring industry closer to the things that we do. Sometimes we think we can align the work that we do closer with industry, and then of course to coordinate better public element of the NSI, especially within government and governmental activities. Of course, we need to make sure that our own operations in the department are enhanced. So again, we've given some examples of the things that we need to focus attention on, in making sure that we have a reasonably well-run organization and that doesn't give you headaches with qualified audits and all the issues that are supported. So in summary, Chair, we think that the institutional instruments for the ideal NSI are in place, but of course, as you can see, we are constantly looking at how we can really make sure that we have an NSI that we like. We've already talked about the need to bring industry closer to what we do. We'd like to coordinate better within government what we do, and we'd like to deepen our ability to translate what we do into commercialization. We think that we have a productive and an efficient system, but it's very small and it needs to be increased and diversified. We need to, as you said, Chair, to make sure that we go out into the public and communicate what we do and excite everyone country. We'd like to deepen the implementation of what we'd like to do. So this is just to give you a sense of how we are organizing the departments. Socio-economic partnerships, this is Mr. Patel's work, where we try really and see whether we can use science and technology for social and economic transformation. We have a program that looks at the people as knowledge system and infrastructure development. I think it's now called something like research development support. Thomas is represented by Daniel Adams today. International cooperation and resources. This is where we try and leverage money from the rest of the world. Technology innovation program two, Mr. Warfare, and then corporate services and the chief operating officer, Dr. these are the public entities that report to the ministry, and of course they will be coming to present to you what they do. So that's is the end of the formal presentation, and thank you very much, Chair. As I've said, the DDGs are ready to answer all the complicated questions.
Thank you, teacher. I think that's what makes me laugh. You create all the problems to run away. You leave them to handle everything. But that's okay. Remember, that's the presentation. I know it's the first time, but for me it has been very interesting. And thank you very much, Titi, for giving this picture. Obviously, it's something that we're going to get used as we move along. So we can't expect to have understood everything that you're saying. But there are a few interesting things. I think that balance of the import and the export is very interesting for me as a person. The other one is that, you know, science, like any educational thing, you've got the formal one where you get a certificate that you are accredited, that you are this. There's informal education that people have got the knowledge, but it's not formal in the sense that nobody knows where they got the information and nobody has followed, and you can't know. And I suspect because of our past in South Africa, there's a lot of that in certain areas, because life has never stopped to be dynamic, irrespective of whether there was formal science or not. Life has never stopped being dynamic. So there are certain things that have been happening. In fact, I usually say I'm a descendant of Dlamini, Ndlovu, Swakhulu, and so on. And the fact that they say, well, before 1652, it means there's something that they were doing. Otherwise, if there's nothing that they were doing, I would be surviving, I would have died. But there's something good that they were doing. That I'm the fact that I'm still alive today. So there's that part. And then the other interesting part is that we're talking about innovations. I think this development is a creator. Unlike the development of us is not a creator. You deal with something that has been created, but you correct the wrong that happened when it has been created. Whereas in an engineer and a scientist, you look at something and you develop something new. Now, that can be to the benefit of the community. That could be at the disadvantage of the community. I'm sure you understand what I'm trying to say. You know, somebody is going to sit in Pretoria and create a nyaupa. It's to the disadvantage. And how do we manage those things, those ones that are created? Because even that one is a creator, but it's only that it's against the community. For me, it's like what we say, when somebody destroys the nature, you say it's a developer. When you destroy Table Mountain and you build houses, you say, hey, that person is a developer, and they are destroying what has been created by God. But if I destroy this house, they say I'm an anarchist. It's wrong. When you destroy something that has been created by man, you say this person is destructive. When you destroy something that has been created, you say it's a developer. You are trying to use. So there are those balances that I want to know. And looking at this, you know, scientists are people that I'm not sexist. Scientists work like. I'm coming from rural areas, you know, sometimes our wives, they sit at home, you see me brilliant, talking very well, only to find that the person who gives me ideas is my wife at home, but you don't see her. Scientists are like that. They sit behind and they do things, and somebody comes up with the FAK, and you don't know the work that has gone in there from the scientists. And how do we know how many scientists do we have who are doing the good work in South Africa? Do we have that data? These are some of the things that you are asking yourself, but I don't think you need to answer them. It's just something that we're going to be moving forward with. It is, and knowledge is power. So if you've got the knowledge, we're going to be getting there. I see something very interesting in this department. I think I'm going to enjoy myself. Definitely think I'm going to enjoy myself. Remember, that is something, and I feel we're talking about transforming South Africa. And I think this is the key area that is going to transform South Africa. If you look at it, all the departments are affected. Are affected here. And the worst one is the intelligence. You know, science can develop something that can destroy the whole country. How to work with intelligence so that I know there must be somewhere where there's confidentiality of our scientists. And I know sometimes some of those brilliant scientists that we've had in South Africa have been stolen by other countries, Nicodemusly, and we don't even know who they are. But I'm not going to talk about that. But it does happen. It does happen. And we don't need to bring it to this world. But it's something that we're going to talk about. Well, at a certain stage. So remember, that is the presentation. And we'll go some questions and answers. I follow your words. Put it so that we can share your words. I've lost my words. Oh, okay, members. I see Dr. Lott, are there any other hands? Is it or my Linda? There are two Lindas, by the way. We've got to have tests. Who's the other Linda? Who's the other Linda? Okay, maybe let's just talk to Dr. Lott. But
you
I shouldn't
much.
Say doctor, it's a prof. But the committee member. Okay, then.
Thank you very much, Chair, and I also wish to thank and congratulate the DG on this presentation. I think for new members in this portfolio, it really made sense and it gave us quite a good overview of what the department is all about. I have one question, but then also what the Chair said also basically made me think about something else. Let's start with that. I haven't picked up here in your presentation the role of Indigenous knowledge systems. Where does that feature within the department? And then secondly, my sense is, as I read through all the documentation, is that this is very much a department where you invest. You invest in producing human capital, knowledge, etc., etc. How do you measure your return on your investment? Because large sums are being transferred to, for example, the NRF. And what do you do to ensure that, for example, those students actually do qualify, that they do plow back into making society a better place in producing new technology, etc.? So what systems do you have in place for that? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jefferson, and thank you, DG, for the presentation. I'm one of those who was sent to the conference. It wasn't by choice, but from the presentation, it is interesting, and you also realize that everything that you do is about science and technology. I just proved, when I trained as a diplomat, we were taught that you read what you know. So some of the things that you ignored, they make sense. Now you see, oh, I've seen this somewhere, and so now I concentrate on them. But pardon me if I ask a stupid question. I will learn from that. or if it's something that you had explained and I missed it, my apologies in advance. But I on the issue of what the DG apologized of the target of the 1% gross expenditure of the 2002 target, when or do you envisage achieving that target? When we're talking about the paleontology, I think Lombuselo used to be in that that department when they discovered Miss Bless and the Cradle of Humankind. So it's a very interesting area to see science and technology in a real sense. But the innovative hub, innovation hub in Swan, how effective is it in utilizing that? And the local identification, the local talent identification, what is the program of really identifying the talent locally and ensuring that it is nurtured and taken forward? The likes of Mandla Maseko and Norilisho, are you producing other Mandla Masekos to ensure that you move forward? I think it is interesting because the science and technology is where the country is going, and just like you, Chair, I think one will also enjoy this. I'm beginning to also. The 100 PhD graduates in 2013, is it measurable? Will it be achieved by 2030? And just on the science and engineering, technology and mathematics, those PhD graduates, and I just want to find, you know, in interworking with the other departments, do you work with the SANTF? Because I find they do a lot of training, the intake, the train, and sometimes that training is lost. I have a niece who did electrical engineering. She's now with the SANTF. She did civil engineering. She's now a civil engineer. And I don't know where it goes. Then you continue being in the SANTF, just drilling in the morning and not doing much with what you have achieved. So utilization of that knowledge base. On the license spin-out, how do those people who are people making money out of them, how do they get protected? I want to congratulate the department with the piloting in Tsofimvaba. I think not because the two of you come from the Eastern Cape, but I think it's very interesting. It's very interesting, and congratulations once again for looking at the real rural area for that particular thing. But I also wanted to know, you know, the Northern Cape has got a lot of this, the plants for medicinal use. I was once talking, discussion with you know, Abdullah Ibrahim, Dollar Brand. He's got a farm in Northern Cape, and he was telling me that he has planted a lot of some of these that can be used for medicinal. So I'm not sure if you've looked at that. I'm sure that's about it, Chair, on my question. Thank you very much once again.
Thanks, Marlene. interesting thing, you know where Mchaka is coming from? It comes from a very beautiful area in the western part of KZN. The Mpende area. It's a rural area, but it's very beautiful for agriculture and it's mountainous. I'm the one who's coming from those rural areas of KZN. There's something that I want you to repeat, Mr. President, which I thought was very profound, where you said there were three things. I don't know, I can't remember how you put it, but you said there are certain things that are already there that you leave them to the department to continue with. It's science, but it's already there in development. You don't need to add anything else. The second one was that things are going on, but you need to assist them in certain things. But I didn't hear the third one. What was the third one? That you can.
I'm sorry, just a small one. I'm currently studying, so I just want to know if in the final years in specializing, can there any recommendation within this particular area?
If I were going to get up with PhDs ourselves.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. You know, it's a disadvantage to talk after Honorable Maseko. I was going to ask mostly about development initiatives. But now, let's check social responsibility. And check how many scientists in South Africa do we have? And what are the what can we do more than what we have in terms of the scientists, and what are you implying to do with early childhood development? Because I understand we start to mostly the subject that goes with science and technology, mostly physical science, starts at grade 10, before it was standard 8. So I think it's better if we can get a detailed report that will tell us that what do you think about this the upcoming children or generation, what should be done. I think it will assist us. And in line with the NDP, we understand that the president, even in his sauna, told the nations that he will make sure that unemployment is decreased in South Africa. So let us go back and check in your human resource. How many they can post? And when do you think that it must be filled? And how many 18? When do you think that you will change that 18 to the original one? I think I'm done. And thank you very much, Honorable DJ. In future, we will only be happy if you write thank you, because now you left my language. I'm in the valley, and I can see that I order sharp. Siyathokoza is a handwritten language from Mpumalanga. So there's a original amendment from Mokopane, CDL, whereby we think that we were disadvantaged. Thank you.
I'm not sure if Khoisan language is there.
I just want to know wanted to find out on of the structure of the department and also the budget, the where the department is in relation to women, young people, and people with disabilities. Thank you.
Mayor Blanche.
Thank you very much, Jay. When we did our oversight in the Eastern Cape DG, we visited the school, one of the schools with the e-learning program. I'm very interested to know what the result was and how and if there was a marked improvement in their matric results with the e-learning project, and what is happening with that project currently. Is it still a pilot? It is going to be rolled out to other areas, and is it still only in the Eastern Cape, or will it be rolled out to other provinces as well, and if so, which provinces?
Thank you, Mayor. So that the youth must sit in front here. So that you are the one who's supposed to have a PhD next year.
I don't believe I'm the youngest here. thank you. Maybe one must start by appreciating the presentation from the teacher. The new person in this portfolio, the presentation has actually outlined a number of things that we were doing, things that we were printing, let me put it that way. One did not know that it falls under this portfolio, you see. Because at one stage, as he was presenting, I started to think that all along maybe one was thinking on a borrowed mind. But now at least one is aware that in other times, there's this gap that one needs to bridge in terms of research. And the knowledge that you have, you need to expand more on researching, so that when you talk, you'll be talking on an informed decision. But the presentation touched on medicinal plants. I just want to ask, because we hear quite a number of things. People are talking about a number of plants, saying that this heals this, that heals this, just marijuana. Has the department ever done any research on marijuana? Because we hear people saying it cures cancer and all those kinds of things, but has the department done any research on that? Thank you.
Okay. Those are the questions, but we'll keep on referring to you, though knowing that you have said they will answer you. So they will answer. That's to touch, bro. You're supposed to be a professional pro-causa. Let alone that you're related to causa, but you're pro-causa. So you're a professional who should be in Brazil. No, but don't respond to that. I mean, he has come up with something that I think it's very important, but we'll hear how you answer those things. But we want you to give us a synopsis, and as you said, we're going to be with you for the next 5 years. So we're hoping that we're going to know each other, but this is the area that is going to transform our country. I dare say that if we want to transform South Africa, this is the area we're going to, because this is the department that creates. It's not working on what has been there, but it's creating new things. And we don't need to fight about transforming the country. Okay.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks on the question.
Sorry, I'm being reminded. I don't want people to collapse here. Let's just go for tea. And I know Roy Boss is a South African product. But we have never highlighted that. I know the creepy clothes that in the swimming pool was invented in South Africa. I know that the first CT scanner was invented in South Africa. So there are a few things that were invented here, and maybe you could make comments about those things and how we move forward, even in the new. But let's just have a 10-minute break, and then we come back, then we start answering.